Winter is just around the corner, and it will be here before you know it. Are you or someone you know sick of dealing with snow? Are you paying an outrageous amount for snow removal every time it snows? Look no further than Eric's Winter Services for all your snow removal and snow hauling needs. That's not all. They also do lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming. To get an estimate, contact Eric at 920-255-8592 or email ericswinterservices@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook at Eric's Winter Services. Serving Wisconsin's Fox Valley area. Eric's Winter Services. Snow flurries, no worries.
If you're a fan of the paranormal world, then you'll love WLTK-DB Talk Radio. Talk shows bringing you the latest on everything paranormal, cryptozoological, metaphysical, true crime, psychic readings, and more. The truth is here and now on WLTK-DB Talk Radio at WLTKDB.com.
Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. All right, my next guest is very special because you actually entered and won our contest for free tickets to CryptidCon. So, how are you doing today?
Doing great. First time that we have been here. Got the bracelet both days. Awesome. Thank you so much for running the contest.
Oh, not a problem. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you're comfortable with.
My name's Anna Jones. Live here in Central Kentucky. Lived here all my life. I've had a lot of paranormal experiences through my lifetime, from childhood up until now. And I've always been interested in the subject, looking for answers, particularly with everything that's happened through my lifetime. So I've always been interested and paid attention to a lot of the stories and stuff that have gone on. Been a little easier to talk about it here lately, so.
Very cool. No relation, by the way.
Jones.
That's why I was laughing. I wasn't laughing at you. I didn't know what your last name was.
There's a lot of Joneses out there.
There are, yeah. And you have another friend here with you.
Hi, my name is Michelle Johns.
Johns?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Nice. You are a little quiet. If we're going to turn you, what are you, three?
Gonna
turn
is you that up better?
Try it now.
Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Michelle Johns, and I just, I'm a hiker and a camper, so I've experienced some things in the past couple of years that I have, you know, sounds, and just things I've caught on camera when I'm hiking, camping in the LBL. We had some really weird experiences down there. And so I never believed in cryptids before until just recently in 2022 when I had my own experience at home. After going out doing some tree knocks and kind of searching around for Bigfoot, I had a long, loud whistle outside my house after dark, and it was definitely supernatural, paranormal, and I didn't make the connection, but my friend here made the connection. I live next to a historic church, and there's a cemetery there that has some graves that date back to like the 1800s. So she had made the connection of the portal being there in the cemetery, and yeah, it just made total sense because actually the sound came from that direction. So. And I've had other things happen, like when I've been out camping and things like that. I've had things drop in a big splash in the creek behind me at 10 o'clock in the evening, sitting by the campfire alone. I do a lot of solo camping as well. Trees falling. I've heard whoops, tree knocks, and didn't even realize I've heard these in the past before I even, you know, started believing in Bigfoot and all that, and just, you know, kind of blown it off as, you know, forest noises and woodpeckers, maybe, you know, what am I in the jungle, because I'm hearing apes whooping. I've heard screams at night. We've heard howls, you know, just the evidence is clear. I haven't seen anything, but I don't think I need to at this point. So that's what brings me here today.
Wow. That's cool. I'm glad you're here. So nice meeting
Thanks
you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So when we'll start with you.
Okay.
I'm bad with names. There's so many people.
Michelle.
Michelle.
And I also have a YouTube channel as well. Tales from the Narc Side.
Tales from the Dark Side.
Narc Side.
Narc.
and we go into a lot of different subjects, just truth mainly, and I go into a little Bigfoot and stuff like that. Recently, with my experiences, I've shared some pictures and my story and all that. So,
very cool.
It's not a big channel, but
very cool. Well, all of our listeners should go ahead and check that out too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I will try and put that in the show notes. I have to remember that. Again, you don't have to get too specific on it, but like, where were you like about camping and stuff, and when you were hearing these sounds?
Okay, I camp a lot in the Red River Gorge in eastern Kentucky, and that's where I did the tree knocks. And a couple of days later, that's when the whistle followed at my house. So I do believe it was a hitchhiker Bigfoot. That's just my thoughts on it. I also have a walnut tree on my property that sort of got destroyed after this incident, with a lot of breaks and. It's just very unusual. Other than that, really nothing's happened at my home. But
do you live close to there? Or is it like
I'm 50 miles away from the gorge.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Do you live near woods, though, or is it more rural?
I live in a rural area. It's surrounded by horse farm, and I live right next to this historic church.
Okay.
And I'm like the only house that sits next to the church. I have neighbors that, you know, are several thousand yards away, but no one close. Yeah.
I was just wondering, like, if you were living, like, where you heard the noise and it followed you from there, or if you
I believe it followed me from the Red River Gorge, because that's where I was doing the tree knocks and the searching, and I've heard other things there. Like I said, I've not seen anything, but it was kind of, and I didn't know how to take this. Like, was it trying to just communicate? Was it a friendly whistle? Was it nefarious? It had plenty of chances to do whatever it wanted to do, but it didn't do anything. My cat heard it. He hissed. So, I mean, I wasn't the only one to hear it. But
you've never heard any other, like, calls or anything by your house?
No, and I've lived there for 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and the cemetery, I mean, is not far from my window, so, yeah.
Sounds like probably a lot of the people listening to this, their dream house right there.
It is private. It's a little barn house, actually. It used to be a barn in 1950, and they moved it and remodeled it. And so, yeah, I've been there for 20 years. And like I said, I've never experienced anything paranormal there. I have in other places, Greensburg, Kentucky, probably 20 years ago. We lived in a 200-year-old house then, and it was on a cattle farm. I saw some orbs there and experienced choking in my sleep one night. And I was so young at the time in my 20s that I couldn't even register what was really going on. Until later on in life, I kind of put two and two together on what that was. Yeah, something didn't want us in that house. We weren't there long, about 6 months. It actually ended up catching on fire as well. So there was a lot going on there. And that was in western Kentucky. There's a lot of activity there, a lot. So.
Kentucky is a very weird
state.
It is. I mean, we've done a couple episodes here already from the haunted coal mine and Bigfooting and stuff like that. And look at all the stuff that you have here. You know, you have the goblins, you have Bigfooting,
yes.
You have, you know, dogman stuff. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Kentucky, I mean that's just, the Popelik monster, the
yes.
Goatman. I mean, you have everything down here. It seems like it's a very weird state, you know.
It is. We have a lot of cavernous caves and things. I think it has something to do with it, possibly.
Yeah.
It's possible, yeah. I've heard a lot of stories like that of, you know, like the Hopkinsville goblins and stuff like that come out of the coal mines and, you know, assaulted that farm and that. And, you know, you have Hellier, Kentucky here.
Yes.
Somerset, Kentucky, the home of the International Paranormal Museum.
Yeah, that's right.
It is a very weird state, I think, West Virginia, does that border this at all?
It does.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then, like, that's the other state that I'm thinking. We have a Hodag invader.
Awesome.
He usually shows up when I start a podcast. So those Hodags, they're trouble around
Hodag
here.
Hodag fighting.
Oh, but the Hodag busters are here too.
Oh,
so
there it goes.
That's good.
Oh, there
they're chasing him. They're chasing him. This is typical for my podcast. I mean, we were at the Hodag Festival last May, and they came and interfered. I was interviewing Chad Lewis, and apparently it's a theme that whenever Chad Lewis is doing a podcast, that the Hodag store brings him a Hodag root beer.
Oh, wow.
So they interfered in the podcast to bring him a root beer. So
today's the first day I've heard of a Hodag, actually.
Oh,
yeah, I visited their booth. Uh-huh. That was interesting.
Yeah, they're very
another Wisconsin thing,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, back to this. Like I was saying, with West Virginia, you have a lot of weird cryptids and stuff coming out of there as well. I mean, every state has its own group of cryptids, but it seems like West Virginia and Kentucky right there have more, and I could be wrong in this, you know, I mean, you guys see Mappin' Black over there.
Yes, I purchased some of those today.
He was on my show a couple back in October. And we were talking about that, how, you know, he's got so many different cryptids in that and just everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, even he agreed that, you know, this area of the country is really weird. So,
what do you think about the Dog Man?
Well, as far as what?
As far as Kentucky goes and
I don't know.
Where it originates from.
I don't know. We got them up by us. We have the Beast of Bray Road up in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have the Michigan Dog Man right in our neighbors there. And I'll tell you this, right after we were down here filming the coal mine episode and Bigfooting, the week after that, in the same county that we were just in, there was a dogman sighting.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't see them. We didn't have any dogman encounters, but there definitely was in the area.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of it. But
well, we definitely heard some howls in the LBL.
Yeah,
when we camped down there.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It was a very interesting weekend when we camped down there.
Well, you want to tell them a little bit about it?
She
actually wrote a short story on it.
Oh,
yeah, I'm an author, too. We went, me and her decided to go down for the Paris, Tennessee Dogman Conference.
Yep,
and
hosted
we decided,
by Ken Gerhard.
Yeah, and decided to tent camp while we were down there.
As one does.
As one does, yeah, or as we would do. So we got down there. It took us, 4.5 hours drive from central Kentucky into western Kentucky to LBL. Our campground was actually on the Tennessee side. We got there right at sundown. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Got to our campground, and our spot was right beside a cemetery.
I'm sensing a theme with you.
Yes. I actually chose that camp spot.
Yes, she did.
I see the trend here. Yeah.
I was like, but there's a cemetery right there. It's like, well, let's go. So we did. It was starting to get dark about the time we got the tent up. I stayed in the back of her Jeep, and she stayed in her one-person tent. She decided to go over when it was pitch dark, because it is so dark in the LBO. When the sun goes down, it just is so dark that it is, just has a very odd feeling. And it was in that campground, because this was a backcountry campground. There was no lights at all. If you didn't bring your own light, then tough.
Yeah, there's no civilization, no stores,
yeah.
No homes, nothing down there in LBL. It's total pitch black.
Yeah, so we had very few lights, and we had forgotten firewood. Yeah.
You're in a forest.
Yeah, in our rush to get down there, we had forgot that one thing. So we got set up. She went over to the cemetery. I did not go because years ago, I was crushed from the waist down in a car accident. Wasn't supposed to live, and I wasn't supposed to walk again. Did have a near-death experience. But because it was so dark and we didn't have enough light, I was like, I don't need to be getting hurt in the middle of the woods, so I'll let her go. So she went, took some video, took some pictures. While she was over there, I'm sitting on the picnic table, and no fire. We have no fire. I have a little bitty light, sitting on the picnic table, and I see a figure over in the wood line. It's very tall. It did have the shape of a Bigfoot, but I couldn't see anything but a black. It was just black. And so I'm kind of not wanting to turn my head directly towards it And I was just keeping my eyes on Michelle while she was in the cemetery. And I'm thinking, oh, please don't come this way. Do not come this way. And it was facing me. As she started to make her way back over to our campsite, the head turned in her direction. And that's when my heart really started pounding. It was very scary that that thing actually moved, because it was standing pretty still while I was looking at it in the corner of my eye. She made her way back over. Once she lit up our campground, because she had a headlamp on, I didn't see it anymore. Did not see it anymore. And we looked through her pictures. They were very clear. There was two in particular that we caught some things in. So we looked at these pictures very well, discussed them. She turned off her phone. Well, she didn't turn off the phone. We set the phone down, had a little bit more conversation about it. Went, let's look at those pictures again. And the two that had something in it were blurry.
And dark.
And dark. All the rest of them were still crystal clear.
I had to go back on my cloud and recover those pictures.
Yeah.
And take screenshots.
Yes.
Okay, so just so I'm hearing you right, and I think I am, so you took pictures, looked at them all, they're clear, fine pictures.
Yes.
Set the phone down and then looked again, and they were messed up.
Yeah,
they went dark.
The two that actually showed something
correct.
In them.
The two, yeah.
Were the ones that went dark, yes.
Wow.
And those were the ones that she had to recover off the cloud.
But so you do have the clear ones that you got recovered.
I have the pictures.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what do you think it is? What is in the pictures?
What I took in the cemetery first, the first picture I took was of the tree line where she said, but she saw the Bigfoot image, I think, on the other tree line closer to camp. Well,
yes.
I took a picture of the tree line close to the cemetery.
Yes.
And I caught an image of what looks like something that has ears on top of its head. It had a grin. It had hands sticking out. Its head was out against the tree with one eye shine.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yes.
What I believe is a dog man. Okay, the second picture I took was just of an old tombstone. And off to the side was a blur. And once you zoom in on that blur, you see like an image of a demon with real gnarly teeth. And like this face and just its body. It reminded me of tortured souls. Just a bunch of faces like put together on its body, but one big gnarly face with the fangs of the long face. It's just like tortured souls.
Yes.
There's no other way I could describe that picture.
It was really odd.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I can picture what you're saying. Yeah, I've seen like stuff like that. Not like stuff like that, but you know, movies and stuff, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So back to you. When you're sitting there by yourself looking out at this thing in the woods, and you said it turned its head.
Yeah, it just turned its head. Didn't turn its body, just its head.
So now the picture you have, it has ears and pointy.
Yeah, this is no Bigfoot.
Dogman-ish.
Right.
So when it turned its head, do you notice that it has a muzzle or?
It did not.
More of a flat face like a Bigfoot.
Yes.
So you think you saw a Bigfoot.
Possibly.
And you think that you got the picture of a dog.
Yeah, that I did not see with my naked eye. I saw nothing with my naked eye.
So. That's really interesting that, you know, like, because a lot of people say if you got one, you don't have the other and vice versa. So I'm not discrediting.
There's a lot going on in the LBL.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. Tree structures, we caught some pictures of those. A shadow figure during the day.
Yeah, this was
on a beautiful sunny day.
This was the next day that we caught the shadow figure. It was
sort of a thunderbird shape. Very odd.
This just gets getting deeper and deeper.
I know, deeper into the rabbit hole.
Demons, Bigfoot.
Deeper into the rabbit hole, yes.
So when are we going out there?
Whenever you're ready. We're actually going back.
Yeah, we're actually planning to go back. We're kind of waiting until hunting season calms down there in the LBL. We don't want to go out there and get shot. So.
And the leaves are gone, and we want to see what we can see.
Well, at least you're on the same page.
We definitely are.
And we're going to take firewood this time.
Good, good. That's probably a good idea, Wow.
Yeah, it was a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
No sleep for 48 hours.
Yeah, because we were scared. We were terrified.
Did not sleep.
I can't discredit you for that. I mean, you know, I always say to people, like, I'll believe anything because I can't not believe somebody's story.
Yeah.
You know, if I tell you, I've seen a lot of weird stuff out there. If you watched our shows, you know, obviously subscribed and stuff. So The Yetis are getting wild again.
Yes, they are.
We have little stuffed Yetis, and none of them behave at the booth today. They're always rolling around, falling on the floor. I forgot what to say. I've seen a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
That I honestly could tell you, and okay, well, I'll tell you. I've seen a clown in the middle of the woods.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
yeah. I walked out and I saw this jester-style clown with like a ruffle collar and everything. And I turned away and looked back and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, and I cannot tell you, you didn't see a Bigfoot. I can't, you know, I've seen stuff that I can't explain.
Yeah.
And it's just weird, the world that we're in and stuff. And I don't know what it was. You know, you talk about like screen memories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe this was an alien or a Bigfoot I saw. I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I've heard of the woods in that area before, and a lot of weird stuff coming out.
Oh, we heard howls.
Yes, we
did. Let's get into that. So you got some audio and stuff.
The second night when we went to bed, as soon as we went to bed, it was what, midnight?
Yeah, it was between 11:30 and midnight.
Yeah, about midnight. We laid down. She was in the Jeep, and I was in the tent, and the coyotes started, you know, off in a good distance, and they kept going for a while, and then this huge howl just sort of took over the coyote. Like it was competing with the coyotes, so, and I'm screaming, "Did you hear that?"
No. Didn't
and I
know.
I didn't get a response. So
yeah, I was in the Jeep and I heard her talking, but I thought she was on the phone with somebody, so I did not realize that she was yelling for me. But I did hear that howl. It was very long.
Loud.
It was very deep. It came from a deep chest, and
it took over the coyotes.
Yes,
it was disturbing.
Yes.
So I laid my head back down to not sleep for another night.
Yeah, yeah,
that
we did not get
much
sleep. Yes, that was Saturday night. Yes.
Yeah, we left the next day.
Yeah, yeah. Friday night was the most active, it seemed.
It was. Yeah, as soon as we got there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. As soon as.
And then
the
we went to the Dogman conference, and we got to listen to Martin. Martin Grove's story. Have you heard his story?
I have not, no.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I really wanted to go to that conference last year, and we had something else the same weekend, so I didn't get
a chance. After hearing that story, it was kind of hard for us to.
Yeah, you need to read it or look him up on one of his podcasts where somebody's interviewing him. Because,
very credible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. His experience was with Dogman and Bigfoot both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In LBL.
Yeah, that was for anybody. I don't think we ever talked about that on this podcast, the conference and that. But Ken Gerhardt, I've gotten a chance to hang out with him, and I consider him a friend and stuff now. And a lot of the people at that conference, I mean, Ken's a really down to earth guy.
Yes,
like it's flesh and blood. That's what it is, or it's nothing. You know, there's no woo. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And if he brought these, you know, he was kind of in charge of that conference.
Okay.
Yeah. And, him and Josh Turner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if he brought these speakers in, I would believe that they're all legit. So
yeah, he's pretty authentic. I mean, the story's from 1993, but, you know, very credible.
Yeah.
He's an ex-police officer, isn't he?
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
So it's really interesting story.
So the howl, now, you said you saw Bigfoot. You said you saw the Dogman picture there. What do you think that was? Or was it something completely different?
The howl is something I've never heard.
Yeah,
before in my life. I've heard plenty of coyotes.
Yes.
But I've never heard howling like that.
Yeah, I live on a farm. I hear coyotes every night. So, but the howl that was with that, I had not heard that ever before. So I don't know what the howl was. Don't know what to attribute it to.
You've obviously heard, like, Finding Bigfoot. You've heard, like, the audio of the howls.
Yes, there was no whoops or anything at all.
No, this was canine. Yeah.
Yes, this was very...
That's what I was getting at.
It was very much canine.
You don't think it was Bigfoot-esque?
No.
No.
Okay. That's interesting. This is my personal question. Did they have any like audio of Dogman at the convention?
I don't think so.
I don't think they had audio, I don't think.
Okay. Because I personally haven't heard much. I've heard a couple Dogman quotations, audios. And they're a little different, but I mean they're kind of wolf-esque.
Yes.
I would say, I mean...
This could be considered wolf-esque, but I would consider it louder than that.
Oh definitely.
Yeah, deeper.
Yeah. I get that, But, you know, like, when we're out there, you can tell coyotes. They're more higher pitched.
Yeah, it sounds like a yelping. Yelp.
Yeah. They're playfully howling.
That's what
sounds.
We were hearing, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, when you got the big howl, did the coyotes immediately cease?
They stopped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did they come back at all that night? Did you hear any more after that?
No.
Okay.
Not a word out of the nothing after that.
And you know how loud that cicadas can be in the summertime?
Yeah.
Well, we had that stop too at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So that was sort of alarming.
Yeah.
When everything goes quiet.
Got very, very quiet.
Yeah, that was the same night.
Because we were both awake, of course, at 2 in the morning. So we realized that everything got extremely quiet.
Oh, and I almost forgot the best part the first night with all that activity. As I was laying in my tent, I got this scraped right by my head.
Really?
Yeah.
And we were on a gravel pad, and there was no walking
on that
gravel.
I heard nothing walking around. I just got the... Mm-hmm.
She's brushing the tent. On a tent, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, very disturbing that way. The next night, I actually put my head on the other end.
And I couldn't get the back of the Jeep completely shut because we had an air mattress. So there was like this much of a crack there, and I kept thinking, oh, nothing better not grab my ankle and pull me out now.
We probably could have arranged that better too.
But it was a good weekend, very interesting. We did not go down there expecting anything to happen.
No.
We didn't. You know, we knew we were going to the Dog Man Conference, but we didn't expect to have the experiences that we had.
Now, you guys were obviously camping by yourselves and stuff, but this is a campsite, primitive campsite?
Boswell Landing. It is a backcountry campsite. Mm-hmm. It is right on the lake. It has the cemetery right there. Campbell Cemetery was the name of that
Campbell Cemetery.
And there's a boat launching area there, so if you ever go to Boswell Landing, keep that in mind. That keeps you awake, too. The boat noises going in and out. It's beautiful, though. Beautiful sunset. There are campsites right there on the lake if you wanted to, you know, be on the lake shore. So
were you guys like, you guys were the only ones there, but were there other people camped near you?
There were some other campers, and we had reassured ourselves that, you know, there are people nearby. So,
I think there was two or three other tents.
Yeah, we traveled down some gravel roads. There's a lot of gravel roads down there that lead to cemeteries, and there's campsites everywhere. So we've stumbled across really nice campsites, but you would be completely alone. So
yes,
we weren't ready for that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to the first night again, when you saw the creature standing in the woods there.
Yeah.
And she came back, it looks towards her, and then you said you didn't see it anymore. Did you hear anything new?
I heard nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And that's one of the things that seemed very weird to me, which I have never seen one anyway. My experiences have all been more towards the paranormal side. So I did not hear anything. I did not smell anything. When I saw this figure, it was all black. I could not make out any details. It was tucked inside the tree line. I knew it was very tall. It did have the shape of what a person is familiar with when it comes to a Bigfoot, with a kind of a cone-shaped head and the long arms. I could tell that. But I couldn't tell any fur. I couldn't tell any facial features. But it was very, very dark, and we had no light. But it was when she turned to come back and her headlamp showed that way, that's when I was able to see the head of it turn, because there was enough light from her headlamp that I was able to see. It just turned its head and looked her way. And then as she came across the little road, I was watching her saying, thank God there's some light coming.
I don't want to, you know.
That's about the only light we really had was my headlamp.
I don't want to freak you guys out, but I would almost say that it didn't leave.
It may
not.
And
it just ducked down when she came back.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it sat there and just watched you guys until you went to bed.
Oh, thanks.
And then I know, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to freak you out, but I mean,
it paid me a little visit.
Yeah.
Later on,
and then was right there still then.
I know.
That's, you know.
You know, that was a wild night.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was unexpected for us. We did not expect anything. She goes camping and hiking a lot, and I would if I could do more of it. Been out in the woods a lot myself when I was younger. Never really heard or saw anything.
Yeah, and actually, all of my experiences have been, you know, I've been solo. And this is the first time I've actually been with somebody and had activity.
Oh, she's going to blame me for that.
It's all you. It's all on you.
I think it was more where we were.
Yeah.
Our location.
Yeah, the area. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yep. Yeah. Interesting. So now you had said that you had a lot more activity growing up and stuff that was more paranormal.
Yes.
Can you talk about any of that?
Sure. I can tell you one of the experiences that I had as an adult that really stands out to me. Very creepy. I believe this probably happened in 2001, maybe 2002. I lived in Lexington in a suburb. So it was in town. And I had gone to bed, and my husband stayed awake a little bit longer than I did. The kids were in bed. Our children were young at that time. Husband finally came to bed. He fell asleep. I was asleep. I always like to leave a little bit of a light on at night just for the fact where I was in an accident and I have mobility issues, so I need a little bit of light. Had my little light behind my head on. It was very dim. I was not asleep. And I woke up and I saw a hooded figure at the end of the bed. And I thought, oh, it's dark. I'm just freaking myself out. Didn't pay any more mind to it. Turned over and my husband is sound asleep, snoring. He's got his back to me. I put my hand on his back just for comfort. Didn't say a word to him. He was snoring. The next thing I know, as soon as I touch him, he's kicking those covers off the bed and standing up ready to fight. And I'm like, what's wrong? What in the world are you doing? And he said, there was a hooded figure standing at the edge of the bed. And I said, oh, no. Mm-mm. Flipped on as many lights as I could. But he saw it, too. Had no idea that I had seen it, but he said that it scared him, and he's usually not one to be scared. And he doesn't necessarily believe in the paranormal. So for him, that was an experience that led him down the road of being more of a believer when he saw that. And it was a hooded figure.
Is that what brought him here today?
Maybe. Indoctrinating him.
I have to see if she can come over here and talk. Ma back here, she actually saw the same thing.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
She's seen a hooded figure at the foot end of her bed, and it's hooded, like you said.
Yes.
Now, there's three types that I've learned of these shadow entities. There's the hooded figure.
Yeah.
There's the regular, like, shadow man figures. And then there's the hat man.
The hat man, I've heard of that one.
And it seems like I've seen the hat man.
Okay.
I've seen him standing.
Now, is that like a tall hat?
Yeah, it's like Indiana Jones. Like a fedora is how it's usually described. And it's probably from, like, me to the door behind you, about, like, 10 feet away, is where I saw mine standing right inside my bedroom doorway.
Wow.
But she saw one.
Yeah, I've heard of a lot of people seeing those hooded shadow figures.
It terrified me. I was more scared when he saw it because I had dismissed it.
Yeah.
And then when he confirmed that I was actually seeing something, that made it even more frightening for me.
Definitely. Well, yeah. Yeah, when you're thinking, you know, like he's just waking up because you touched him or something like that and startled awake. But then to confirm what you had said, that's...
And he was, like, ready to fight. He woke up, kicked those covers off. He was up out of that bed ready to fight because he was so certain something was there. And
that's interesting because a lot of people that tell that similar story is what you said. I don't know about the hood.
Yeah, it was
now,
hooded.
This could be different. But a lot of the people that do see, like, the Hat Man or the Shadow Man, more specifically, like, the Hat Man, can't move.
Mm. I have had that experience before, too, to where I have sleep paralysis, I believe, is what most people refer to it. Yes, I have had that happen to me. It was before I saw the hooded figure, years before I'd seen the hooded figure. I had two instances of sleep paralysis. So, yeah, you want me to tell you about that? Or?
Yeah, hang on one second. We'll get to that in a minute. Hey, come here. Get on here. We're having Ma join us here. She's coming around from the back room. All right, you're on. You're on the show. How are you doing? Well, I mean, you know.
Sorry, that's Mike.
She's very snarky. Do you want to share, for the sake of the listeners?
Again?
No, not your Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
You saw an entity at the end of your bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to bring that one up.
Oh, well, listen to this podcast back and it'll make sense.
Okay.
But if you can share that, that'd be great.
Okay. I woke up, but I couldn't move. And I couldn't talk. And I looked down at the foot end of my bed, and there was a shadow figure that was pretty much like the size of a teenager with a hoodie on.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a hat man. It wasn't, you know, like death or whatever, but it just looked like a teenager with a hoodie, but totally black. And then it floated up and laid like right above me, and I still couldn't move, and I tried to yell no, and nothing came out, and it was there probably maybe 20 seconds, but seemed like forever.
Oh,
and then it just kind of flew out my bedroom doorway, and then it took another couple seconds before I could actually move, and then I started to yell no, you know, because it finally let me speak. And then I'm just like, you are not welcome here, don't come here, you know, don't ever come back, and, you know, do all my protection stuff and try and get rid of it. So that was not a nice morning. So that's it.
She just told a story of she had a hooded one in her room as well.
At the end of the bed.
He was at the end, well, it was in the corner, and then just came up, you know, for the end of the bed. But he wasn't real big, but it was, you know, bad enough.
You're not going to want to go home and sleep tonight after this. I already freaked him out about their Bigfoot story.
Man, he does that.
Hey, that's a really cool story. Let me tell you something worse about that.
They're definitely different than a shadow figure that you see in a haunted building that just kind of peeks out at you and runs, or, you know, just playing.
This
is
definitely has some sort of control over you. Which is
Can't move,
really
can't
scary.
Scream, can't nothing. You know, can't get rid of it because, you know, they say, you know, invoke God or whoever your creator or whatever is in order to get rid of it, and you can't because you're paralyzed and you can't
speak. That's probably
speak.
The purpose behind it.
You can try and think whatever, you know, but it just doesn't go away until it wants to.
Wow.
That's what was interesting about yours, like I was saying, you know, is she put her hand on her husband to like for comfort, and he woke up, saw it, and started kicking off the sheets and stuff, but they could both move. And I said that was really unique, because for these situations, it's usually sleep paralysis.
See, that'd be more of a Mike Ricksecker thing that can tell the difference between the ones that paralyze you and the ones that, you know, you can still move. And there's all different.
Do you know who Mike Ricksecker is?
No.
Okay. He has a book called Shadow Beings, or it's the Shadow Dimension. But he has a show on Tubi.
He's had a lot of experience. And,
If you look him up, he's been on our show, Whispers from the Dark. There's an episode where he talks about it.
I'll
he has a couple books
up.
And stuff. So anybody listening at home, too, if you're interested about shadow creatures and that stuff, Mike Ricksecker. It's spelled kind of weird, but it's like Rick Seeker, kind of, but Secker.
There's an I in it.
E-I. But it's probably a couple months ago on our shows. But he's on there with Brian Cano. I think it was the same episode. So
I'll definitely be checking that one out.
But I hope it helps. Or, you know, talk to him if you ever see him. But, so moving on with your, you said you had a sleep paralysis story.
I do. It happened to me twice. It was very close together. We were living in Versailles at the time. I woke up in the middle of the night, could not move, could not speak. I did not know what was happening. I was not familiar with the sleep paralysis phenomenon at the time. This was probably in the early 90s, and I just laid there and desperately trying to speak, desperately trying to move, and I couldn't. I was very confused. I knew my surroundings. I could see the light outside, so I knew I was awake. It did feel like I was being watched, but because I couldn't turn my head, I couldn't scan the room to see if there was anything around. It just felt like something was there. Eventually, I know this is going to sound really odd, but I was able to move my big toe. The only part of my body I could move. But I was able to wiggle it against my husband's leg. Well, he just moved his leg out of the way, so it didn't wake him up. And I got more fearful. And eventually I started saying the Lord's Prayer in my head over and over, and it stopped. Set up real quick, knocked my husband, said, "You're getting up and turning on some lights." We turned on every light in the house, and we went and checked the rooms. Even though I had that paralysis issue, I just felt like there was something there. And I wanted the whole house checked. And we did. He was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was trying to explain to him what was going on, and he, like I said, doesn't necessarily believe in that type of stuff anyway. I was like, "We need to check the house. I just wanted to be sure." But that didn't explain the paralysis part of it. And it was from then on that I started looking into it a little more. And, you know, in the early 90s, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff out there to be able to research, to understand it, or to talk with someone that wouldn't make fun of you or treat you like you were absolutely insane. So I kind of kept it to myself for many years until slowly through the years it became a little bit more easier to talk about it and find information. And I realized what it was, what it could be. Not that I know what it was, but the possibilities, the theories that people had out there of what could be going on. And
sleep paralysis is a medical thing, but to have the other paranoia feeling around it, it could be a shadow person that just can't manifest into a shadow.
That's
so
what
they're
it felt
there,
like to me.
But they just don't have the energy to manifest even to that point.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. So yeah, the other one that I had was probably within a 2-week period of that one that I had, but it did not last as long. I woke up again, was unable to move. I knew what was going on that time. Was able to do the Lord's Prayer quicker at that point in time. Came out of it much quicker. It was probably just a couple of minutes on that one, where the other one seemed like it lasted a good 10, 15 minutes.
Wow.
It seemed like me just laying there struggling, not understanding what was happening. But yeah, that's the only time back in the 90s, and it hasn't happened to me since. So sometimes I wonder what was going on in my life that maybe was drawing something around me at that point in time. Yeah.
So with the big toe thing, that's another thing that's pretty common.
Is
usually
it really?
Your toes are the first thing that you can move.
Okay.
That you hear
I hadn't
in those
heard
stories.
That. Yeah. But yeah.
So when you said that, I was like, "Yep."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
One other question for you is what, if you don't mind, like what are you your faith?
I am a Christian. I do believe in God, and I do believe in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So that is my faith.
Okay. Because I was wondering, you know, like we were talking about, you know, saying the Lord's Prayer or calling upon your deity or whatever.
Yeah.
I find more that, you know, like when you say these things, well, why does that work?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering because, like, you know, are these things actually against God or something like that? And I've realized that, you know, the same thing works no matter what your deity is.
Yes.
So why is that?
Yes.
And I've thought about this until I finally realized that when you dig into, like, spirituality and the metaphysical world and stuff like that, your energy, your intention is what matters more than anything.
Yeah.
If you believe in Buddha, if you believe in, you know, Mother Earth, Gaia, no matter what it is that you put the faith in, that has power to you.
Yeah.
And that, invoking that power that is important to you, is what casts these things out.
Yeah.
So people are like, well, you know, if you see a Bigfoot and you know, say, "In Jesus' name, I cast you out," why does that Bigfoot care? Well, he doesn't. He cares because you're putting this energy, whatever it is that you believe in, at these things. So that's why I was wondering, like, if you were actually religious and that's why it worked, or if you just thought, I'm gonna use this, you know, as because well, yeah. I've heard this works.
Yeah.
So that's where I was going.
Yeah,
with that, so.
It's always interesting. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to hear how people handle these things. Yeah. Wow. Scary things.
The world is a very big place.
Yes, it is.
It is a lot stranger than any of us even can imagine.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Another thing, people like, I've always thought, you know, that when you experience one thing, it changes your paradigm for whatever reason. Your body,
it does.
Your soul is resonating at this level that all of a sudden now you can see a ghost. Well,
yeah.
Now you've been opened up to this ghost.
Yeah.
You know that they're real, you know, or Bigfoot, or, you know, a UFO, or whatever, you have it. So once you've experienced that, now you've opened yourself up to it, and you can resonate yourself to those levels again easier to experience these things. So in we'll start with you. In your experience of this stuff, have you kind of found that? Like, what was your first experience? Do you remember, like, the first time that you've had a Bigfoot, paranormal something, and how did that affect you?
I was very young. I was probably 3 or 4 years old when I started experiencing things. But my mother experienced a lot of things. I think whatever she was doing and dealing with, she used to delve into the supernatural a lot right before my father died. And I have stories of after my dad passed away and the things that happened to my mom and inside our house after he died. I actually have an Amazon short story about it. A very young age, and I didn't know how to handle it as a child growing up, coming into my teens. Had a lot of experiences. My mother would tell me about things that happened to her. She always told me not to mess with certain things, like never do a Ouija board. You're going to open yourself up more, because that's what she did. It opened up things that she could not get rid of to this day. She's 82 years old, and she's still fighting things when she tries to sleep at night. So I did learn some lessons, maybe I listened to my mom a little bit, but it still followed me. I still had things that happened. As I became more of an adult, I had more of an understanding. There was more education out there, more people giving their experiences for me to draw from. And I learned how to handle it better, and it kind of tamped down. I don't have a whole lot anymore. Every now and then, a little something may pop up, but it seems like I was able to put up a barrier to push it back, keep it away from me, and I learned to do that. And so it's been pretty quiet until I went to the LBL.
You'll have to listen to that story. That's a pretty good one.
And then the LBL just was like, let's do all
just
of it.
Just rip that right away.
Yeah. Let's just throw you right in the middle.
So basically what I'm kind of understanding is, you know, like a lot of people grow up, you know, when you're a kid, you have these imaginary friends, you see things, you know, that we come to get aged out of, we'll say.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as monsters, it's just an imaginary friend, you know, that's cute.
Yeah.
And we kind of get conditioned out of that.
Yeah.
But you, because of your upbringing, got to keep it with you.
Yeah,
it so stayed it, with it kinda me. So it kind of conditioned you from a very young age to just be able to carry that right along.
Yeah, and to... I had to learn how to push it away to keep it from bothering me, interfering in my life, and terrifying me. But I eventually was able to do that. Thank goodness.
It's the club of no return.
Yeah.
That's what I like to call it.
Yes.
So as far as you go, like, you're kind of in the same boat, you know, as this. So.
I am. I didn't experience like what she has throughout her lifetime. Just a couple of things in my younger days when I was in my 20s, like I said, with the sleep, getting choked in my sleep, and I saw some orbs. I did have one experience as a child. We live in sort of a creepy house, and I was woken up one night to flashing lights outside the window, kind of like police lights or ambulance lights, and I got up and went to look out the window, and in the driveway was an ambulance that was from probably the 1950s, like, you know, like the long type ambulance with the lights going. And like, I can still remember this vividly to this day. I was maybe 7 years old. And so that kind of, it wasn't a dream. It really happened. But was it really there? How could it have been there? I mean, how could an ambulance that old been in the driveway, you know, back in the 1980s? Other than that, living in Greensburg with the orbs and the choking in the sleep, really nothing until this year. So.
Yeah, when she started hanging around me again.
Yeah.
When I got interested. See, it is all your fault.
I'm like, I'm kind of interested in this Bigfoot because I started hiking, you know. I'm a pretty avid hiker, been doing it for 2 years since 2020, and I'm out there all the time in the woods. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, tell me a little bit about this because I was curious. So I had to go out there and try to seek it, and it seemed to find me before I found him.
And she's got guts to go out and solo camp and pitch that mm-hmm. tent miles back by herself.
I don't necessarily believe that Bigfoot are nefarious. As people, some people believe they are. I don't necessarily believe that because they will make themselves known to you that they're there. And you know that they're, it's like they know that you know. And I don't believe they like to hurt people. Maybe if they get pushed too far, if you're threatening them. I don't believe myself to be a threat. I don't carry a weapon. You know, I'm just a 50-year-old woman out in the wilderness alone, so I'm not very threatening. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to dog man, I don't believe that's the case.
I hear a lot of stories, like you said, if they're not threatened, they'll leave you alone. As far as Bigfoot. It seems like the southern states, Oklahoma, Texas, down there, mm-hmm. that you get more of the aggression. And it was brought up that, you know, with the hotter states, the drier conditions and stuff, there's a lack of food. So they're a lot more territorial, a lot more aggressive because they have to be for their food and to survive.
They are. I think they're smaller here, too. They're smaller and more aggressive, like, than out west in Colorado. Yeah. They're bigger. And,
yep.
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they all adapt to their environment. And I don't think they're as active in the winter here because they're used to the warm weather. I don't know. I just don't see a lot or hear a lot in the wintertime.
And she had an interesting experience. Was it last year at Springer Mountain?
Oh, yeah. I went to Springer Mountain, Appalachian Trail, for the first time in my life in July of 2021. And I don't know if you all are familiar with the metallic noise that people have heard in the woods. Okay, at this time, I had no idea about Bigfoot, paranormal, didn't care. All I cared about was getting to the Appalachian Trail, camping out, and going hiking. So I get there, it's about 6:30 on a Saturday evening, and it's raining lightly, very foggy, very kind of dark for 6 o'clock in July, and just very, very eerie. And I get to my camp spot, I get out just to check it out and scope it out. As soon as I get out of the Jeep, I immediately hear this loud, huge, just, it's like a shipping container being dropped hundreds of feet onto the concrete. Just so out of place and so, and I'm like, WTF is all I could think of. Okay, could not explain it. But it did not register as anything. I just had a feeling there, though. I wanted to get on the Appalachian Trail so bad, I got my backpack on and went on anyway. It's raining, it's foggy, you know, I'll hike about a half a mile and I just turn around because I just don't feel right. And I have, you know, I don't have any idea about cryptids or anything. It just didn't feel right. And hearing that noise, we were at the Dogman Conference. And Martin Groves describes the same noise. And we just look at each other. Mm-hmm. Because I told her about it, just as an odd experience of being in the woods. So I've never heard that noise any other time.
It's pretty common with Bigfoot and stuff like that, that they people hear, like, car doors slamming.
Oh, this was louder than a car door slam.
Yeah. And It's interesting that you bring that up. I was recently up out by myself out in the woods, and I did a wood knock, and I got back in reply this, like, whap-bam sound, and it sounded...
Like an industrial metal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like a gunshot, but it wasn't... It was bigger than... Deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like a gun going off.
Well, there's a theory
the
on that... And portal is the theory of opening and closing. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I could see that from hearing that. So,
yeah, and you know, from my experience, there was nobody around. I was back there. It's probably about a mile.
Oh, I drove 7 miles up a mountain. There was nobody around.
Yeah.
And it was raining. I mean, nobody was out there.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, Ron Moorhead, the Sierra Sounds guy, also reports that stuff up at their camp in the Sierra Nevada mountains. And there's nobody. Nobody even knows where that camp is, aside from people that were hunting up there. You know? And he reports hearing stuff like that up there, too. The car door slamming. Cliff Berrickman over here in the other room, even here today, you can ask him about that, hearing car doors slam in the middle of the woods going, we're up on top of a mountain. We hiked up here for days. There's no car doors up here. You know, it's just weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, is it Bigfoot related or is it something else? You know, I mean, just because it's in the woods.
That's
the
mystery.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't belong there.
No.
Yeah. And here we are going to go back soon. So.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are out there all the time, aren't you?
For the most part, yeah.
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 So it's just old hat to you guys,
see, I'm sort of afraid to do a tree knock. I see all these tree knockers around here. I almost bought one, but I'm afraid to go tree knock again after that whistle that followed me home.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you never know. You don't know what you're saying.
I mean, it's like I want to, but I don't.
Like, come on, let's go. Come on. Come to my house. Yeah, okay. Follows you home.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it has been absolutely amazing talking to you guys. You guys have stories for days, and I'm sure we can keep going here.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, before you go, you said that you had a YouTube show.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you go ahead and plug that again?
Tales from the Narc Side.
Awesome. On YouTube, right?
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. And you are an author.
Yes, you can find my work on Amazon, and I go by AJ Kaywood for my fiction, and then Anna Jones for my nonfiction. I also have a story in Chicken Soup for the Soul books called Angels Among Us for surviving the car accident, because I saw what I
We didn't would even get into that.
Yeah, which I would classify as an angel because the impact was 110 miles per hour between both cars. I was not wearing a seatbelt, and I really did not have any upper body injuries. But my oldest daughter, who was 6 at the time, said she saw an angel move in front of me right before impact. And so that's in that book. It's called It Was a He Angel. So... another perspective.
Well, I think, do you know which Chicken Soup for the Soul or anything?
It's called Angels Among Us.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you say
that? Because there's
that?
Tons of titles. I know the Chicken Soup books, they've got tons of titles, yeah. Okay. But that was the title of mine, Angels Among Us. They were specifically looking for miracles or tales of angels kind of thing. So my story got picked.
Awesome. Well, we will share. Let me try this again. We will save that story.
All right.
And let them go get the book.
Okay.
I think that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're still here.
Yeah, me too.
Sounds like you're making use of your given time.
My time
then.
Here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep in touch. And if you guys have any new stories, you know, from out in the woods and stuff, definitely love to have you guys back on. We can do Zoom and other podcasts and stuff like that and catch up again. Or next year or something if we're up here.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
All right, guys.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for doing the contest where I won the tickets because it's been great.
You are more than welcome. Yep. For those of you, you know, I don't know why you would miss the beginning of the episode, but yep, you were one of the people that won the tickets to CrypticCon from us. So.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys very much. Until next time, guys, I'm Barnaby.
I'm Ma.
Michelle.
I'm Anna.
We'll see you out there, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's WisconsinCAPS.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps.
There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.